amazing how God works sometimes? The children's message went right along with that. Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? I thank you for the opportunity. Thank Jeff for the opportunity to be here. I didn't know if I was going to come. We were at the beach last week, and I came down with some bug I've never had before. I don't know what it was. I went to urgent care, and I slept almost 3 straight days. It just fatigued. I've never had that before. And I'm still a little tired, but I know this, somebody's praying for me this week, and I appreciate that. Amen? And that makes all the difference in the world. So thank you. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And when you find your place in Philippians 1, you'll stand together as we honor God's word. The Apostle Paul is speaking about life. He is speaking about death. He's speaking about this old body. But he also is speaking about home. And that's what I want to speak to you this morning, is home. Where is your home? Where's my home? And so let's look at the scriptures about this issue of home. And Paul refers to that. If you would, we'll begin in verse 18. What then Paul says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. Paul knew that it took the prayers of so many praying for him to be delivered from all the physical ails and persecution that he went through, and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Of course, it comes from the Lord himself. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul was never ashamed of Jesus. I hope today when we talk about home that none of us will ever be ashamed about Jesus. Amen? Amen? Never. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. In other words, whether I'm living or whether I die, my prayer is that God be glorified. That's really what he's saying. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and being confident, I know that I shall remain and continue with you in all your progress and joy. So Paul's talking about he would rather go home and be with the Lord than live in this old world. But he knew that it was beneficial for so many people that he continued to preach not only the gospel to those who need Christ, but to continue to feed the church, help the church to grow and mature and be more like Christ. Paul says, I'm really between a rock and a hard place. You ever feel that way? Ever feel that time where persecution or hardships or sickness or trouble comes and you just soon go and be the Lord? That's a natural thing. But Paul says, I'm going to stay as long as the Lord gives me strength so I can serve him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for our time today. Thank you for this wonderful, special music. We just give you praise for those who lift up their voices and give you praise and honor and glory. Now, Father, we ask you today to lead us as we learn and understand more about home. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once there was this guy, his name was Ted, and he decided to sell, it was a long time ago, but he decided to sell his horse. So he saddled his horse up, and he was going to go into town. He had already called somebody, wanted to buy his horse, so he took off to town riding about 2 miles away to sell his horse. And as he rode by his neighbor's house, his neighbor was out painting the fence, and his neighbor asked him as he stopped, he said, Ted, where are you going? He said, I am going to town to sell my horse. And the neighbor said, maybe you shouldn't do it that way or say that. Maybe what you ought to say, if it's God's will, I will sell my horse. He said, look, this is not God's horse, it's my horse. God's will doesn't have anything to do with this. This is my decision. I'm going to go sell my horse. Old neighbor said, okay, go ahead, but you ought to ask the Lord if it's his will or not. Anyway, he trotted off. About a half a mile down the road, he realized he had stopped and talked to his neighbor so long, he didn't have a whole lot of time. He was going to miss his appointment, so he had to really put the gallop in the horse to get there. Well, he decided to cut through this farmer's land to make some time up. And it was getting, you know, a little bit darker outside, dusty outside, and so he didn't see the barbed wire fence. His horse did, but he didn't. Horse stopped right at the fence. He went over the barbed wire fence, caught his clothes, his leg, his arms on that barbed wire fence, over into the hog pond, head first. He was all cut up, bloody, you know, and just, hog stuff all over him. He was a mess. Yes, that's what he was, a mess. And so he just crawled up out of there, managed to get up on his horse, you know, he's hurting and all this stuff, and he galloped. I didn't miss my appointment. I might as well go back home. So he trotted off back home. Came right by his neighbor's house again. His neighbor said, Ted, what is wrong with you, man? Your blood all over you. You're muddy. Your shoes are gone. He said, I know. They got stuck in the mud pond. Your shoes are gone. Your clothes are, what in the world happened? And so he told him this long story. Won't go into that again. Told him this long story. What happened? And he said, where are you going home? What are you going to do now? He said, I'm going home if the Lord wills. I'm going home if the Lord wills. The question for us today is, what is God's will about home? What is your desire about home? In other words, where is home? Is home here? Well, it is in a way physically, isn't it? Because we're still here. But what about your real home, where your heart is, where your treasure is? This might be a probing question for us, but that's a good thing for us, amen? To be prodded, amen? To be probed. I don't know about you, maybe I'm different than you are. I have a tendency to wane. I have a tendency to get away from the Lord, don't you? I have a tendency to get satisfied with where I am, comfortable with where I am. And I don't like that because I know God doesn't like that. He never wants us to be comfortable in our relationship with Him. He wants us to be, as the term is, on fire for Him. And that's what I want to be. I'm not always that way, but I want to be. I try to be. I pray to be. I hope you do. But it has to do with home. So the question is, where is your home now? This world, your time is spent. So many people today is spent here with this life. Your efforts, your desires. So many people in the world, everything about their life revolves around stuff here. Their house, their money, their goals, their aspirations, their jobs, their desires, what they want out of life, what they hope they get out of life, what they will for. Everything revolves around here. And for those who have that attitude about home being here, there's going to be a lot of trouble in your life for sure. But the Bible says the Christian is always to look, as the Apostle Paul did, to something a whole lot better than the here. Amen? Hopefully you're happy here. You're joyful even now as a believer. But this isn't home. Amen? I hope you understand it. I know that. This is not my home. Not where I want to wind up for eternity, in other words. You may have a good home, wonderful family. Amen, I do. And I'm as happy and joyful as I can be here. But that's not good enough. There's another home that we're all going to be in for those who love the Lord. Amen? And that's eternity. Home is a word that's found over 52 times in the Bible. Most of the time it has to do with the physical home. But it also has to do with joy. And it has to do with memories. Now, maybe some of you today are here and you have a lot of great memories of home, of where you grew up. Part of mine were not too great, and I've shared my testimony with you in the past. But when my grandparents adopted or took me in, my brother and myself, to raise us up, those memories are there, and they're good memories. And so a lot of folks today have good memories of their home life, But there are some brethren who come to church, they don't have a very good memory of home life. And we need to be aware of that, that their home life has been different. But they can find that right kind of home with the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul is speaking about home. I want you, first of all, to notice the Bible does talk about physical home. It is a building. But a house is not a home, is it? Is it, church? A house and a home are different. They're not the same. A house can be a place where you reside, place where you go to off when you get off work, place where you sleep and eat and those other things. But a home is different. A home is that place that you go to, that abode, that place where you find security, that place of peace, that place of joy, that place of being around your loved ones, that place that you can feel comfortable in, that place of peace. That's what the Bible describes that home should be. Sometimes we have struggles with that in our society. But home in the Bible is that condition of that heart. The Bible says that God has a home for us. John 14, you know that verse, been read many times. I go and prepare a place for you, amen? Where I am, I'm coming back, and where I am, there you may be also. I go to prepare a place for you. He is talking about our eternal home. Not this home, but our eternal home. That sanctuary, that place where we're accepted. Place of security, place of peace and love. I have a lot of empathy for those people who don't have that. There are folks today who are living on the streets, and they're there for all kinds of reasons. Maybe they have mental illness. Maybe they're there because of alcoholism or drug addiction. Maybe they're there because of physical abuse or sexual abuse, whatever the case may be. Maybe their folks died. They had no one to help them. There are people who are a whole lot less fortunate than we are. Amen? We are so blessed to be here. And when folks come to church, so often they come from a background totally different from what most of us are in now. And so they're looking for, you know what? People are looking for a home. Not a physical home. They're looking for a church home where they can be what? Accepted, loved, and cared about. A place where they can develop friendships, a place where they can learn what the truth is so that they can repent of sin and come to know the Lord, a place where people will love them and care about them. That's the greatest need of the church today, is to provide a home for lost people when they come. I don't know about you, I've been in a lot of churches over my lifetime, especially ministry. And I've been to churches that nobody even spoke and nobody even shook your hand. Have any of you been in a church like that? I have. And some of them have been large churches and not one person shook your hand. Not one person welcomed you. That is not what people truly need. We talk about home. We talk about home church. We talk about homecoming. We talk about the building, don't we? The church is not the stained glass windows. Amen? It's not the carpet or the pews. That's not God's home here, in God's house. That's not what he's talking. It's not the building. Usually when folks are talking about the church, they're talking about the building at such and such a place. That's not what the Bible wants us to understand about church. Church is the body of what? Christ. It's where we come to be secure and learn and grow and love and help one another, encourage one another. Never to backbite one another or to stab one another. There are churches like that. You know that. We're to help and encourage one another in this place called the church. Jesus said, "Where two or more gathered in my name, there will I be among them in the midst of them." Why? Because church is family, isn't it? It really is. You can get close enough to some church folks that are just like your brothers and sisters, even more so physically. Amen? People you can count on when you need help. It's the family of God. There's the second thing. That's the home for the body. The Bible describes this old flesh as being a home for the body. The soul, the spirit. We are, interesting enough, body, soul, and spirit. And I preached on that one time before. But we are body, soul, and spirit. We're not just the flesh. We're the soul part that God created in His image in us, that part of us that has personality, that part that can have a communication with God, that wants to communicate, that can have a relationship with God. Then there's the spirit that God gives us to help us to do that. The ability of personality, all of that's involved in soul flesh. This is home temporarily. Amen? Thank God it is. I am glad this is not my permanent home. I'm glad my soul and my spirit is not going to have to live in this old body for a long time. Amen? Aren't you? How many of you want to keep this old body? How many of you want a new one? Amen. I hope you do. And that's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians. He says, for we know if we have an earthly house or a tabernacle, we also know that it's a house not made with hands, but it is eternal in heaven. We groan, we earnestly desire to be clothed with our house that is from heaven. That's that new body. This old body is a body that's going to wear out. Now, when I say this, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are people that I know that spend tons of money on this old body to make it look better. Surgeries and surgeries and surgeries and facelifts and facelifts and tons, it's all this stuff. Thousands and thousands of dollars. And some Hollywood stars do look like they did almost before, don't they? How many of you have seen one that, man, something happened there? They look worse than they did before. That happens too. But there are people who spend tons of money to look better. And then there are folks, don't misunderstand this, there are tons and tons of folks who spend so much money on exercise. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you exercise. I exercise some. But I know folks, it's their religious principle every day. They spend more time exercising than doing the Word of God. They spend more time, they can't pray because they don't have enough time between work and exercise. And they exercise all the time. It's everything. It's almost like it can become a god, this exercise. We are a nation of exercise fads, are we not? It's everywhere. It's not wrong to exercise. That's a good thing. But there are some folks who just take it so far they don't have time for anything else other than that. It becomes everything because they want to stay the same age they always are. You know what the Bible says about exercise? It says the Bible, for bodily exercise profits a little. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. It helps a little bit. A little bit. Now, if you're like me, it doesn't seem to help any. But anyway. But he says, godliness is profitable for all things. To be godly, to spend time in the house of God and worship and prayer and studying the Word of God, to spend your life in this old world more in the things of God, more in His service, more in serving Him and worshiping Him and ministering to others and helping others come to know the Lord. It's more profitable, the Bible says, to do that than it is to do the bodily exercise thing. And then it says, why? Having promise of this life that now is and of that which is to come. There's another life after this one. Amen? Most people plan for this life and that's it. There's another life after one. That's where our plans should really be. A home to serve the Lord. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's true. Jesus said in John chapter 14, it's an amazing verse. He said, if a man will love me and keep my words, my Father will love him and we will come and make our home in him or her. Is that not neat? Is it not neat that you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven of your sins, which is a great thing? Forgiveness in the blood. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? But you know something just as wonderful is that God can move in your life. You don't become God, but God moves in. And he will convict you, and he will love you, and he will prod you, and he will encourage you to grow to become more like Jesus because he lives in us. And he does. If you're saved, Christ lives in you. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This world is not much of a home. quite frankly, to too many people and they don't even understand it. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims in this whole world. Don't, brethren, live your life like this is all there is. I know a lot of, I know some Christians who did. They don't have time for the church. They don't have time to serve. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to study the Word of God. They don't have time for the things of God because their whole day and every time of their life is all wrapped up in this whole world. And that's a sad thing. Home is what we must remember is an eternal thing. I like what Vance Hebner said one time. If you're a Christian, you're not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. You're a citizen of heaven making your way through this world. And there's a difference, a big, big difference. This world's not my home. I'm sure you've heard, I'm just passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Temporary. Your house is temporary. I know people that aren't here, they're not in the house of God this morning because they got to clean the house and wash their car and cut their grass. There's not going to be any cars in heaven. Amen? Why spend all that time on stuff that doesn't matter? Don't we waste some time sometimes on things that don't really matter? I'm not saying you should never wash your car. I'm not saying you should never clean your house. But I am saying that we got to, as Christians, make sure our focus is in the right place. Paul's desire was to depart and be with the Lord, but it was better for him to be a servant now, to set his mind on things here, to work and serve while God gave him that time here. But his mind was always above on what God wanted to do. His thoughts were upon the Lord, upon things of God. I can't help but think he went to bed at night and dreamed about heaven. Amen, have you? You ever try to dream about heaven? It's hard to do that. You know why? Because the Bible says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared. It's hard for us to understand because we live in a physical world. It's hard for us to grab a hold of what heaven really is. But it's going to be good. Amen? It's going to be better than good. It's going to be great. And we got to set our mind on that which is the goal and not the stuff of the world. Too many Christians are so involved in stuff down here, including politics, that they don't have time for the church or to serve in the church. No wonder the churches are hurting. No wonder so many people are still needy is because there's so many who are so involved in things of the world. There's a third thing quickly, and that is the eternal home the Bible talks about is heaven. I was had to call a guy the other week to come out and clean up our septic tank. That's a neat thing to preach about, isn't it? But nonetheless, he was out there. And when he got there, you know, I helped him a little bit, and we were cleaning it, you know, out, pumping it out. Every other word out of his mouth was a cuss word. Everyone. Now, I understand. I used to do that, right, Ray? You did. I don't know how many of you did, but I did. I used to be that way, and every other word, but he said, I don't use God's name in vain, and then he turned around and he did, and he just kept on and on and on, and he looks up at me and he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. Not near other curse word came out of his mouth. He got convicted, and you know, I talked to him a little bit. He ought to be convicted. I meant for him to be convicted. The Bible says that we're not to have any ugly language come out of our mouth. The Bible says we're not to have any filthy language come out of our mouth. The Bible says that whatever we say, it ought to glorify God. What he was talking about didn't glorify God at all. And I hope when he left, he was convicted. And we had a little talk. And I hope he went to church every Sunday. And I hope he has a different approach to it. I hope he gets on his knees and asks God to help him realize this isn't home. We don't need to talk like the world does. We don't need to act like the world does. We have a better home. Amen. We don't have to impress anybody with our language or our words We don't have to have power words like that's the only way you can get through to somebody is use profanity. That's a bunch of junk. You don't have to do that. Let me tell you something. Just the word preacher can get them. I tell you another word you can use. I'm a Christian. See what they do? Same thing happens. Home. Where is our home? Where are you comfortable at? Are you comfortable here? I hope so. This is where you ought to be comfortable. Comfortable in doing the things of God. There are too many people that are comfortable out there with all the stuff of the world, the sex of the world, the ideas of the world, the power of the world, money. That's all they want, and they're missing out on a real home, and they're going to lose it. They're called carnal Christians, the Bible says. The friendship of the world is not clean with God. We are comfortable, hopefully, here in God, in the house of God. The Bible says Judas went to his own home too. He was greedy for what? Who can tell me? What was he greedy for? Money. That's what he was greedy for. He wanted money. And when he finally got some of it, you know what happened? It didn't satisfy his needs, did it? And the Bible says he was sorry. He wasn't sorry enough to repent of his sin. He was just sorry that he got caught. He was sorry for what he had done, but not sorry enough that he asked God to forgive him of his sins and come in his life. He didn't repent. People can be sorry for what happens to them, but they never repent. There's a difference. Judas went to his home too, but his home wasn't heaven, was it? His home, eternal home, was a place called hell. God talks to us in John chapter 14 about that eternal place that is called home. There are times when I just frankly want to get, you ever just want to give up? There are times that happens to all of us, I'm sure. You see all the violence, you see the pain and the suffering in the world and the hate in the world and the sin in the world, and sometimes even in your own life, the stuff that's going on around us, all the arguments, the division. Our nation has never been divided as much as it is now. You want to get in an argument? You can get in one if you're a Republican. You can get in an argument in a heartbeat with a Democrat, can't you? You can find them in a hurry. Or if you're independent, you can argue with both of them. I mean, you can. There's so much division in our country. What we need is to understand that all that stuff is temporary. It's not going to be here forever. When Jesus Christ comes back, there's not going to be Republican, Democrat, or independent. There's going to be Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will rule, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. And the whole world will have knowledge and be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. No wonder John prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." And every time I watch the news, I just, "Lord, come. Please come. It's such a mess." Is it not? You ever just get discouraged with the news? You ever get discouraged with stuff the way that happens? I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and he was saying, "You ought to come play more golf with me." And I said, "Well, brother, I hadn't played golf in almost 2 years. I'm sorry. I hadn't had time much to play." And that golf's not bad. It's not a bad thing to do. But there are some people, they're going to play golf whenever, including instead of church, right? Yeah, they don't have time for the things of God, but they got plenty of time for golf because that's where their heart is and that's what they want to do. Or it could be other sports. It doesn't matter. And I struggled with that. I still love sports, and I have to realize, hey, wait a minute. God's got to be first, amen? I got to make sure he's first, and I spend my time with him. And then if you got any time, you can go do the other stuff. That's what you want to do. But we were talking about golf. And he said, "Preacher, you think there's golf in heaven?" Now, I know why he said that, because he wants to go play in heaven on the perfect golf course, right? And he just, "You think there's going to be golf?" And I said, "No, sir." You should have seen the look on his face. "What do you mean there's not going to be golf in heaven? If golf is your idol here, do you think God's going to let you have a place in heaven to do it?" That doesn't make any sense. Or whether it's sports or basketball, whatever. You understand? And he said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Golf is something that man made, right?" Amen? Man designed. You don't find golf in the Bible. God didn't design it. It's not bad necessarily in and of itself. But golf was designed by man, right? So were other sports. and it's okay to play them, but you better not put them first. But he said, I don't understand. I said, listen, if it's man-made, don't you think God has something 100 times better in heaven? We can't dream of what God has for us in heaven. We can't even conceive of it. It's because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those who love him. That's heaven. God has something 100 times better than anything we've ever experienced in this life. Period. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what it says. Pleasures forevermore. You haven't seen anything yet designed by man that's going to outdo what God has for us. It's going to be incredible. We need to remember that when we think about home. This isn't home. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He was in the beginning. He was in the beginning of the universe. He's the beginning there before man. He is the end in the sense that he's everything in between, the Alpha and the Omega. When this world is over with, he's still there. He always was, always is, and always will be. Amen? He's unmoved, unchanged, undefeated. He's bruised, but he's a healer. He's persecuted, but he brings freedom. The living God. He was dead and he was brought to life. He's risen and brings power. He reigns and yet he will bring peace. He is a holy and righteous God. His word is eternal. His mind is on you and me. He wants our mind on him. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior, the Guide, the Peace Giver, the Joy Maker, the Comforter. He is Lord. He is Ruler. I hope you and I serve him for one reason. Because we love him and because he is our home. And no matter where he is, I want to be there because that's where home is. And God says for us to come together in his house on his Lord's day and anytime we can. So what does that mean? He is here. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he says, I'm here. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the house of God. That's home. Might be things about church that you don't like, or disruptions, or whatever, issues sometimes. But hey, you have that in your own home too, don't you? In your own house. But this is home. God's house is home. Follow him because he alone is the way to heaven. He alone is the truth. He is life. And I become more and more to realize this. He is my life. I'm serious when I say this. I would just rather not live if I didn't have Jesus. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. He is life. I don't know if you're lost today. I want to tell you something. You can do all you want to in this world. You can try everything. God knows I tried just about everything there was in the world. And it was fun for a while, but man, it always runs out. It runs out. It gets empty after a while. And you keep trying to fill it up with stuff, and it doesn't work. And until Jesus came into my life, there was nothing there. He is life. He still is. That's because he's home. And wherever he is, at church, which he says he is, my life, in the Word, heaven, he is home. Amen. We need to have a hunger for home. Because when you have a hunger for that home, you live better down here. Amen. Here's where we have to live it, just like Paul. Serve him now. I remember, and I'll say this lastly, I remember when my grandparents had passed away. And we had to put the house up for sale. My brother and myself and my aunt, we had to sell the house. I had all my good memories come from that time, those years that my grandparents raised us. And I remember as we sold the house and got rid of all the stuff that needed to be gotten rid of before the new folks were coming to the house, I just went out in the backyard, had myself a little pity party. You ever do that? Have yourself a little pity party. And I just, all those memories were flooding my mind, and I thought, you know, I'll never be able to have that opportunity to be here anymore. And all those memories, you know, my grandparents who really were my mom and dad anyway, and all of that stuff was flooding through my mind. And you know, I really got sad about that. I really did. It really just hit me wrong that we'd never be here again, never have that again. And I was having a hard time dealing with that. And it was just like the Holy Spirit. He didn't do this audibly, but he said, and so help me, he spoke to my heart, and God does. It wasn't an audible thing at all. But he said, John, you forget. You're not home yet. Amen? Not home yet. My grandmother, I know, and my mother, I know, are waiting for me. That's a part of that home I'm going to get back because they love the Lord. And first of all, there's Jesus who gave me a home. Amen? He gives you one. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord Jesus, let me challenge you to come to know Jesus as your Savior. To ask Him to forgive you of your sins, be sorry, and give Him your life. For crying out loud, stop playing games. This is not a game. Church people, and I know I played this game. Church people play a good game sometimes. They're lost as the day is long. People who come even to church, but they won't admit it. They won't admit it. There's something there, not there, that ought to be there. But when you finally realize, no more games, Lord, I need you in my life more than anything else. I want you to help me. I want you to change my life. God, give me what I don't have, but what you do. God will do that. He'll forgive you. Amen? Come into your life, be your Savior. If you don't know Jesus today, I ask you to come. But I also ask you today in this invitation as we close as this. I'm going to challenge all of us, like I need to be challenged too by this, and I was. I need to make sure all the stuff I do down here is not for me so much as it is for others to serve the Lord. I struggle, just like you do, with so many things. But that things down here are not necessarily wrong. Money's not wrong. God's not wrong. But we got to keep those things in balance. God has to be first because that's where home is. Amen? Home isn't here. If this is home, you're going to get disappointed, just like me. But you can be encouraged, just like me, that you found a new home. And you can't wait to get there. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time. Lord, just bless this day. Help us for your glory. Lead us as we make decisions today in this invitation time. In Jesus' name.